You are not to discuss this matter amongst yourselves.
We don't submit reports or ask approval for specific operations, if that's what you mean. We are an autonomous department.
Any questions?
Podcasting from an abandoned subspace relay orbiting Risa, this is Section 31, gathering intelligence for you on Star Trek CCG. Now reporting in, operatives Dan and Rogue.
Welcome to Section 31, episode number 36. I am Dan Hammond.
And I am Rogue Schindler.
This week we'll be talking about first edition cards and the triple set that came out. We have a special guest, so here we go.
All right, well, this week we had our return to 1E after a bit of a hiatus. As you all know, we've been working here in San Diego to establish some sort of method to play 1E that doesn't suck. We have slowly refined this, what has become known as the SoCal 3030 1E format. And I think with our most recent additions has become an incredibly fun format when we played it again this week.
Yeah, we had a great turnout. We had seven players, including, I think for the first time in about 5 years, we had a new player. It was fantastic. Tim Rice, a local who apparently has been collecting forever, but has never come out to a tournament, joined us for the first time. So we're hoping he becomes a permanent addition to the group.
Yep, we look forward to seeing him at a few more tournaments. We had a great turnout for a 1E tournament. Seven people showing up, all playing different decks.
And, yeah, I think the fact that everyone was playing a different deck really lends some credence to the idea that this format is pretty balanced. I played, well, one thing to note, the format is Highlander. Other special rules, you can only have three people underplay per turn. And at the end, during every turn, you can either make a free play with the personnel or draw an extra card. Any other specifics that really make the format unique?
Just that for all intents and purposes, all ref cards are considered to be in play.
That's right. I mean, that's right. We have a ref side deck that you can pretty much access at any time and put a stop to anything.
Rather than everyone having to worry about stocking all the ref cards, and if anybody plays any of the cheese that the refs nerf, they have to worry about, did they actually play that? Are they stocking enough cue the refs? We just said, let's forget about all that. All of them are there. They can be accessed at any time, so that'll dissuade people from doing any of that. And it's made people build more fun, interesting decks instead of...
So we had we had Ferengi. We had... you were playing the original series with Admirals. We had a Klingon Cardassian Alliance deck that Thomas was playing. That was awesome. Matt was playing Holograms. Franklin did not build a new deck. he was playing his Delta Quadrant Hirogen Vidian Federation, just powerhouse. Who am I forgetting?
Johnny?
That's right. I didn't play against Johnny. What was he playing?
Neither did I. I didn't play against Johnny either.
If I remember correctly, I overheard... Actually, I've got a score sheet here, so I can look it up. Johnny was playing Starfleet. Interesting. I overheard Franklin from behind me say on more than one occasion that the Nexus was an evil, evil card.
Yes, that's right. I do remember overhearing a lot of Nexus shenanigans.
So Johnny was playing Starfleet, and I was actually playing Borg in a Highlander environment, which is not to be advised.
Craziness.
Actually, I had a good time. I posted a tournament report to the boards. I was playing a Harness Particle 010 and an Assimilate Homeworld for a two-mission win because the Borg are immune to in the zone for some reason.
Ooh. Hey, I maintain that if I had gotten that card out,
yes,
if you much different.
What was that? Coordinated Counterattack?
TOS virtual card. Your opponent's personnel cannot gain skills.
Does that hose anyone but Borg and 1E?
Not terribly.
Yeah, fantastic. All right.
luckily for you, I never got it out, so it didn't really matter. Yeah. But we had a pretty close game to begin with. Was it 75 to 100?
Yeah. And we followed our tournament up with a six-round, six-player triples tournament.
which was a lot of fun. The more we play, the more fun I think I've been having with that. No, we had a great time. The triples were fun. The one-e was fun. Saw a lot of people. I personally tried out one of the new Identity Crisis cards. Had a little data card action thrown in for some support with my Federation deck, which was incredibly useful. And here to talk with us about his work on 1E, including the Identity Crisis set, is Seth Claybrook. He is the 1E... What is your official title? Like artistic designer for 1E, or...?
Well, I'm not actually part of the committee and don't really have an official title, but I do the graphic design for 1E, for whatever it is that... Yeah, graphic design.
Sure, that was what I was thinking of. I hear you did some work on the errata file as well as the Identity Crisis?
Yep. Pretty much anything 1E related, I'm the man. So I work close with Jeremy and with Johnny, Brad, and Charlie to make sure that we're all in line there for 1E, and we're all together on the same page for the continuing committee.
Did you have a hand in the new card, the
Tribunal of Q?
Yeah.
Actually, for that one, I did not get to pick the image for that one, but I love it. It's great. I did put the card together, though, and make sure all the font, spacing, and everything all works in there. When we started doing stuff for 1E, we didn't have the actual templates from Decipher. And so we were digging around trying to figure out, you know, what we could do and how we could make it work. And we finally got a hold of what Decipher had. And, man, those files were a mess. They were all over the place. So we took some time cleaning them up and kind of compiling things and getting it all together so that it was something a little more usable. In fact, they were missing a lot of stuff. Some of the later affiliations that were added, Hirogen and Kazon, were missing templates in there. So we had to do a lot of cleanup and patchwork to get them up to snuff. So,
do you feel you have everything you need now? If there were to be a new 1E, you know, virtual expansion ready to be produced, that you'd have all the art.
Absolutely. We've got everything all nailed down, and for the stuff we've been working on, we've got everything we need. We've got, at first we thought we were missing some of the series icons for some of the movies, like, you know, Wrath of Khan or Undiscovered Country, but got everything all lined up there.
I noticed, I was actually admiring as I was cutting them out at the tournament this past weekend, the Identity Crisis cards, going ahead and switching all those to the to match with the backgrounds of the various affiliations that each of the cards that were not printed in. What was the biggest challenge in tackling something like that?
We've done all the work to get the templates ready before we even went to tackle Identity Crisis. The biggest challenge we had there was that for the cards that didn't have the multiple affiliations were ones that Decipher had done earlier on. In the later sets, they had, you know, both affiliations printed in the sets, but for the early ones, they didn't. Now, with the early ones, that meant that they were using the old web compression for the files that they would throw up online. The images were just really not a good quality, but that's all we had to work from. Decipher had a unfortunate accident with their archiving system around 2000 or 2001, I believe, where they lost all the original art for those early cards. So that made it a bit of a challenge, as there was really no way, even if we could, you know, get some stuff from Decipher to replicate those. So with the help of Johnny, we were able to go ahead and get some screen grabs and go back and, you know, try and find the exact time frame of those images. And he did an amazing job of cleaning those up and getting those ready for us so that we could go ahead and put those in.
So you essentially had to rebuild those cards from scratch?
Yeah, every card that we've done, whether it's been the errata file, the referee reprints, or Identity Crisis, and all the cards going forward. It's building them from scratch. And then when we go for Identity Crisis, we had to go back and then get those fresh images. With the referee and the errata cards, we've just stuck with the ones that we've pulled from the Decipher images.
Seth, what is your 1E background?
I started playing 1E in January of 95, so right after it came out. I was actually with a friend who played Magic, and I was along for the ride. He went to a card shop to go pick up some more cards, and both of us being Star Trek fans, we walked by and saw Star Trek cards, and we thought, hey, we'll give this a shot. So we picked up a few packs and went back to his house and tried to figure out the rules, and from there on out, I've been playing ever since. So I've been playing and been an avid collector and followed the game. And I've collected 2E, haven't played a whole lot of 2E, but love the cards, love the templates. Been around for a while and involved in a lot. So,
do you still get to play 1E?
I don't have a local play group, and with work and family and stuff that I'm doing for the continuing committee right now, I don't have the time I need to put in the effort to create a player base here. But I do play online with some friends using Lackey to get my 1E fix.
Rumor has it you're also responsible for the box tops that I've been printing out and slapping on all my old Lord of the Rings and Star Wars boxes.
Yep, that was actually my first project for the continuing committee before we had any of the files from Decipher whatsoever. So all of that was just what we could find and scrounge up and scan and recreate and see what we could make match as best we could.
So all of those, the big icons that got blown up really large had to be, I mean, you kind of made those before. Have you tried to rebuild those now that you have the original artwork?
No, I haven't. The stuff that we got from Decipher is actual, the size that it is on the card. So It's still not big, good enough quality to blow up to the size to put as the image for the card. So we still would have had to do that type of work, but it would have been a little easier with the files that we had, but the work's done and it's there, and I hope people are enjoying those, being able to mix and match. I know Chris did a lot of work online to make that happen for the premium membership, to be able to customize and put your Tribbles top on a Galaxy Quest background and slap a 2E icon on there. So,
well, Seth, thanks for coming and stopping by and joining us for this. We look forward to seeing some more of your work in the future. Hopefully, if there is more 1E work going on in the future, to add cards to our somewhat stagnant collections, we definitely look forward to what you've got for us.
You got anything you can spill?
I can't tell you exactly what we're working on, but I can give you some hints of stuff that's coming in down the line. Right now, we're working on some promo cards, working with straight alternate image cards along the lines of what you saw in Voyager, the big picture where you have, it's the same game text, but you have different lore and a different image from a different series. So we have those type, the cross-series ones, as well as just straight alternate image cards. We have some stuff that's akin to the Fajo collection. So we'll let you speculate on what those could be.
Awesome.
We have four boutique sets in the works, and right now I'm looking at some cards that are three expansions out. So we've got a lot of stuff done, a lot of stuff in the works. Jeremy's doing an amazing job playtesting and making sure they get the game text just right before we release anything. 1E has been kind of notorious for having, you know, issues and then having to come out again with maybe Magic Bullet or something in the form of a ref card to try and take care of that. So Jeremy's working really hard so we don't introduce anything like that. Also look forward to some fun Easter eggs. Decipher And almost every set included some type of Easter egg, whether it was in the image or in the lore and the copyright. So I was a big fan of always hunting through, trying to find those. There won't be a lot, but keep your eyes out for those. I'm also big on trying to make sure that we have missing items. So Decipher announced that they would do holodeck adventures. Then they got the license for the movie First Contact, and it got put on hold. Then they got the license for Deep Space Nine, and it got put on hold again, and on down the line. And finally they said they were never going to do it. But lo and behold, we ended up with Holodeck Adventures. So I've been going back and reading old articles and finding things that they had originally planned. And we're going to try and see if we can squeak some of those in.
So like extra broken links, things that didn't get covered in what was that last set? All Good Things.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome.
So in the official player's guide for the Star Trek customizable card game, there's a mention in there under the Traveler Transcendence that that was not to be the only iteration of the Traveler and that there would be some interaction with Static Warp Bubble. So I'm going to see if I can help work that in.
Fantastic. Well, we would like to thank Seth for stopping by and sharing his 1E intelligence with us. And with that, we are, in fact, out of intelligence for this week. On behalf of our producer, Matt, I'd like to thank our musical sponsor, Warp 11, for their kick-ass theme song, I Am Sir Rogue.
And I am Sir Dan.
And I will once again remind you all to expand your power in the universe.
And this being 1E, I will commandeer Empok Nor and download 36 equipment cards to end.
Well,
yeah, I'm gonna have to come right back.